Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it, Wednesday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, and you. Open practice, first 40 minutes or so. Got a chance to have a gander. I did not get to go watch because I was screaming like a three-year-old in the toy aisle, face down at the chiropractor. Up front and honest, Dr. Ben, thank you deeply. I can move and I feel good now. So I was not at practice. Derek Peterson was of Hail Varsity. We will talk to Dr. Petey in about 15 minutes, get his take on what his very lovely eyes said to him, what he saw, what he thought. We'll hear from Coach Walters and Ryan Held here in a little bit. The full-on Wandale update, so we'll get that handled. Some thoughts on the running back room. One of the big questions about Nebraska football in 2019 is that running back room. So we'll hear from the man in that room, in charge, Ryan Held. That's coming up in about a half hour. We'll run down Mike Shewhart, get his take on Tiger. And then in hour two, Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. We'll talk to Brad about Nebraska and some bigger picture college football teams when it comes to the power rankings that are out. Nebraska sliding in at 19 early in the preseason for ESPN. And then big-time Husker and eight-year NFL vet just retiring. Guy I loved watching and covering when he was at Omaha North. And then his time at Nebraska, and then a very, very good career. Niles Paul going to be with us in a little more than an hour. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. And find us and follow us on Twitter. Can tweet at us, Chris Schmidt, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Willie underscore Bauer. That's how you follow and find us. It's a loaded show. Your participation is always welcome. Before we get into the coaching rundown and what happened in practice today, Athlon Sports out with the coaches who talk anonymously. I love this. Love it, love it, love it. And there's really no negativity towards Nebraska at all. I mean, they start with Illinois. Watch out, they'll be good someday. Indiana, everyone hates to play them. Iowa, consistent, they develop. Michigan State, a team that's not good when everyone else in the East is good. They're kind of Iowa-like. Maryland, a lot of change going on. That's code for bad season. Michigan, Shea Patterson's forced Harbaugh to change. So, and I'm doing the drive-through version here. Minnesota, listen, they've got a motivator and CEO in Fleck. That's his strength. Here's Nebraska. Nebraska is still an ongoing project, says the anonymous coach. But they're the conference's most talked about team in recruiting. Scott Frost is going to get it turned around. He's already set the tone. You can tell right away. That's a different team in terms of behavior and attitude on the sidelines. We noticed it immediately. To me, that says no one's playing grab ass on the sideline anymore, which is good. Offensively, they're going to have more consistent playmakers this year. They're going to have more speed than you'd expect from a Nebraska team in recent years. The quarterback is a hell of a player. He's going to improve a lot over his true freshman year, being thrown into bad situations. Can we count the bad situations? Rain out, Colorado, dirty move, fast forward, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio State, Northwestern. I mean, I'm going down the road games that this poor guy had to go through. And they got better. So, more on Adrian. As long as that kid's at Nebraska, they're going to be a problem in the West. They're real thin behind him. But they're also thin at most positions, which is why they're still a work in progress. What have we heard? You know, 3 to 5 years before you're up and running again. You can have some studs and some special players at some spots, but do you have studs and special players waiting in the wings or subbing in, working up to be elite? And that's the difference between the 90s and now. You had greatness stacked upon greatness. You may have a great in Adrian Martinez. You may have a great in Wandale Robinson. You may have a great in Ty Robinson. You just don't know yet. And there's not guys in front of them or behind them, per se, that are difference makers yet. That's what this anonymous coach is saying. They're good. They love to use the spread run game as a base and get creative from there. It's a great offense to counter the rest of the division. And back to the speed. That is where Nebraska can be a difference maker in the West. They are going to be a faster, more athletic team than most teams in the West. They're explosive. So, Nebraska defensively, they struggled a lot on defense. They're still building it back. They need an identity. And that's what separates a talented roster or a high-scoring team from a Northwestern or Wisconsin. You need a defense that can make it ugly. We'll see it. They'll see Nebraska and that recruiting showing up in places they haven't in decades. Where's Nebraska done well? They've done well in some SEC land. Florida, Texas, Kentucky. So that's kind of the book on Nebraska. Northwestern, smart and physical. Yep. Ohio State, listen, Ryan Day's really, really good. Penn State has a bunch of loaded talent despite maybe stepping back this year. And Brahms created the culture. You know what? That's a great question. What can Nebraska's identity be on defense? And if we're kind of following suit with what the coaches want, they're problem makers. They cause problems on the defensive end by taking the football away. Are they great against the run? They'll probably be better. Are they good at getting after the quarterback? Still got to see somebody or a couple of guys emerge to be a real problem for a quarterback. But can you take the football away? Can they be opportunistic? Can that be their definition? Can that be Nebraska's identity? That's what you're hoping for if you're a Nebraska fan. You're hoping for 2.0 as Central Florida's defense. And I know Central Florida's defense gave up some points and some yards. But for most of the season, in their undefeated season, they didn't give up a ton of points. The last couple of games, South Florida and Memphis put up a lot of points because they were pretty good football teams. They didn't put up enough points because Central Florida had the turnover difference. They had the turnover advantage. And then I saw how physical and fast Central Florida's defense was against Auburn, team that beat both teams playing for the national championship. So I think that can be Nebraska's identity. I think they can be physical. And maybe they can turn that physicality into being an opportunistic defense. So we'll talk to Dr. Petey about practice, get a practice report from him. And let's get into some of the sounds from practice. Ryan Held and, of course, Troy Walters. That's the kid we're hyped about. That's the kid we're excited about from Nebraska. Nebraska's being real smart with the balance they have because they don't want to wear Wandale out carrying the football and catching the football. Here's Coach Held.
We'll see. I mean, he's definitely going to play running back. I mean, he's really, really talented at running back. We'll have – the good thing is we have guys that can do that now. They can be receivers and running backs, and, you know, that's what we wanted to do when we got here, is to recruit those type of hybrid-type players that Coach Frost had at Oregon, what we had at UCF, and now here at Nebraska.
More from Held.
That's a good question. I think that'll kind of evolve as we go. But he's going to have to be able to know both. So he's a mixed bag with Coach Walters and me. You know, I get him caught up on stuff. You know, during practice, sometimes he'll be with me, you know, like in individual stuff, teach stuff, and then he's with Coach Walters for the other stuff. But he's got to know both, and we'll see. I mean, he definitely can do both. He's done a really good job up to this.
So there's praise there from Coach Held. The time he's had Wandale at running back, and Nebraska's going to be this football squad in the fall that has got a bunch of just electric fellas running the football, and then you've got your hammer and nail in Mills. We'll hear more from Held on Mills as the show rolls forward, but you've kind of got your tone setter, your physical dude, your worker in Mills. You've got that thumper banger back that you need. Otherwise, your offense is just too finesse. You can be physical, but you need that downhill running ability and threat in this offense. When you get right, what's the dream? You match the Oregon speed with the Husker power. Well, this is your Husker power. This is Coach Walters on the Wandale Watch. As, again, it's good to get perspective. Here's his wide receivers position coach. We just heard from his running backs position coach.
He's looked good. He's staying healthy. That was the key in spring. He was nicked up a little bit. So he's doing a good job taking care of his body. Did a good job in the summertime taking care of his body. And he's everything that we hope for. He keeps getting better. He makes plays as a receiver. He's making plays as a running back. And so that dual threat option is going to cause challenges for opposing defenses.
Yes, it will. And Wandale's a guy that has got fantastic speed. And some of the footage I saw him catching the football, I mean, you're just not going to square him up because of his size. This is a public service announcement. This is not a comparison to Barry Sanders or Marshall Faulk. But when I'm thinking of size, right? I mean, those guys were low to the ground. They were 5'8", 5'9". I don't know Wandale's height. I'd go 5'9", maybe is what they'll list him. But good luck. Good luck lowering the boom on him because he's so low to the ground. And then squaring him up because of how good he is side to side. And what's unique about him is how he can get up to speed and do it rather quickly. And you're going to have that acceleration ability with Wandale, but you're also going to have him in space. So as much as you're worried about him going 60 yards on you, he'll be able to dart side to side in open field and make someone look stupid trying to tackle him. It's going to take three. It's going to take three folks around him maybe to get him down because he's so good side to side. And then he can put the foot in the ground and just take off Bo Jackson turbo style for Tecmo fans out there. So, Wandale's, you're excited about seeing him as a Nebraska fan. You're leaning on him as a Nebraska fan, and that's okay because the coaches have not shied away whatsoever from kind of easing him into high expectations. Let's hear some more from Ryan Held. I love when he is in front of a camera and microphone. I learn a lot, and let's touch on the talent in that running back room. cut 10.
Again, with Dedrick, with Ramir, with Wandell, I'm not gonna make this big deal that these guys are Heisman candidates or they're gonna have their picture on the wall. They got a lot of work to do to get there, but I do like the fact that of where they're at, you know, as football players, and I got to just grind. You know, we got to grind every day to get them better.
So the mentality is appreciated. Again, earn it, grind it day by day. Last thought from Held before we talk to Dr. Petey. The speed and talent upgrade and how quick cut 11 that has happened for Nebraska football now in year two.
It's not even close. Not even close. You know, the physicality, I mean, Jiminy Christmas, just the aesthetics of looking at each one of our guys when they run out on the field, we're looking like a football team, all right? Looking like, I mean, with the strength staff and everything, I know you guys hear it all the time, but that's real. That's legitimately real. Now, we have to go out and execute and do all those things. Can't turn the ball over, and special teams has to get better. But I can tell you that from a on the hoof, we say in our world, we look a heck of a lot better, which is encouraging.
That is good to hear from Ryan Held on the hoof. And he's excited, man. He's excited for his running back room. We'll hear from Ryan Held his thoughts on Ramir Johnson, Ronald Tompkins, a Mo update. And it was good to check out practice. The first 35-plus minutes open for the media as Nebraska practice number 5 down at the Hawks indoor facility. Quick timeout. Dr. Petey was there at Hail Varsity. Derek Peterson next. Hail Varsity is presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, we say hi to Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Dr. PDHV on Twitter. Face down at the chiropractor, my friend. I wanted to join you this morning so bad, could not. But I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling a lot better. How about you? How was practice? Give us some great insight, good doctor. What'd you see?
Well, I'm glad you got fixed up if you were at the chiropractor. I've never been to the chiropractor.
Dude, today
in my
twice.
Life.
I had to go Monday and I had to go today.
I've never been. I should go because my back is just in a perpetual state of pain, and especially after moving, it hurts.
I have this like right lower muscle, whatever, alleged air quote muscle, and I'm fat and old, and it's just horrific. So, and my wife threw out all my happy pills. So, I mean, it's just ibuprofen now. So, there we go.
I'm a young guy, but I'm old in my joints.
Uh-huh.
And so watching the breakneck pace with which practice was conducted this morning made me a little sore. They move so quickly, and it's something that we're always told about, but it's always something that, like, the second you get in there and you see it, if you haven't seen it, like, if it's been a while since you actually have seen it in person, it's like, oh, yeah, these guys move really fast. That was the first thing. It's just, they just move through stuff so quickly. It's really impressive, and a guy like Ramir Johnson looks good. And you know, you talk about the pace that Nebraska plays at, the pace that Nebraska practices at. When you add to that an offensive playbook that is as difficult to digest as this Scott Frost playbook is, you get young offensive skill players that come into the system, and the expectations that they're going to probably take a little bit to grasp. You know, we heard a ton about Miles Jones heading into last season, and then it was just hard for him to get on the field because it's just hard to get comfortable. But a guy like Ramir Johnson, I bring this up, he looked comfortable going at the speed and the tempo that Nebraska was playing at. There was one play where it was an 11-on-11 work, and Luke McCaffrey sort of gets out of the pocket a little bit, and he's moving up the left hash, and he spots Ramir Johnson pretty much wide open on the left sideline, and it was like a pitch. It was a backwards pass. It was like a pitch, but they were a good maybe 7, 8, 9 yards apart. And so Luke threw it at him, and Ramir adjusted on the run, caught it, and took it probably 15 yards for a nice gain. And it was just stuff like that. It was one of those plays where he catches it, and then the Jets are on, and he's bursting a little bit. And Ryan Hill talked about him a little bit after and said that he's trying to get him to sort of adopt that no fear of failure motto a little bit. And that's another thing that he's probably slow to take with some guys is to know, you know, mistakes are fine, just keep playing through it. And but when he cuts it loose, Ryan Hill really, really likes Ramir Johnson, and that was evident from listening to him talk afterwards. And the running backs look good. The offensive line, Will Farniok was, as expected, taking first team snaps at center, and Cam Jurgens was in pads, and he was there, and he was participating in a couple things, but it was light work for him. No noticeable brace or tape or anything really anywhere, but he did not take part in team activities. That was Will Farniok. And I made a note of Will. Frost likes to call him Lil Will. He's not little anymore. He's not a small dude. Like, he's a redshirt freshman, and it'll be interesting to see how he can kind of hold his own when he gets against other competition that is not Nebraska's second or third string defensive lines. But he doesn't look like a boy. He doesn't look like a small guy. He looks like he's been in a weight room. He looks like he's been in his active ball weight room. He looks noticeably bigger than the last time we saw him. Those are kind of my main takeaways. I watched a lot of the offense heavy. I wasn't over there with the defense much.
No, that's fine, man. I mean, the offense, and I was able to, you know, follow along with Coach Held, and I love, first and foremost, when he's on camera or mic, because the guy is just super energized and has good takes on stuff, you know. And yeah, I mean, Ramir's a dude that could do some things. The hype train of Wandale Robinson's very real. But did you see some wow moments from him today? Or is everything kind of just like he makes it look easy, so what is routine you know most people can't do?
There is a little bit of air of he makes things look routine. He makes it look like he's not trying very hard. There were a couple, like, you see those highlight videos where, like, the Nebraska football Twitter account tweets out a video of, it's like the still motion pictures turned into a GIF, and it's him making like a diving grab and getting 2 feet down in bounds and it being a good catch and all that. And you see that and you're like, man, this kid, I can't wait to see him. And then, you know, we get out on the practice field and to say almost the exact same play and he drops the ball. So it's,
gotcha.
It's like, just pump. We just want to pump the brakes a little bit. He's a freshman. Don't put too many expectations on him. I don't think that's fair to him. First of all, he is incredibly talented. There's a reason that everybody is talking about him as much as they are. And we were kind of having this conversation at the office this afternoon, Jacob Padil and Greg Smith and I, and I guess somebody had posed the question, like, what is the difference between Wandale Robinson and, like, Tyjon Lindsey? Like, they're both similar in terms of skill sets, so what makes them different? And Greg made the comment, he was like, do you remember coaches talking about Tyjon the way that they're talking about Wandale right now? And I thought that was a good point. You know, it's easy to say, look, we got to be careful with expectations. We got to be careful not to put too much on the guy's plate. But at the same time, like, every time they talk about the guy, they just rave about him. So I think we should err on the side of cautious optimism, in the sense that we haven't seen him play a game against a Big Ten defense. We haven't seen him go against, you know, that Ohio State game will be interesting to see how he reacts. If, you know, we're four games into his Nebraska career and he's being used as much as people expect him to be used, it'll be interesting to see how he goes, because that defense will be a new bear. So I think he's ready to play a ton. But, you know, there weren't any, like, moments where I was watching where I was like, oh, my God, this kid is, like, the second coming. You know?
Sounds like the oh, my God was Ramir, right? I mean, as far as just the speed factor, because he's like Jersey tough that is – 0 to 60. The other difference between Wandale and Lindsey is, you know, Wandale's made it through the summer and then the winter conditioning. Lindsey did not.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just
Wandale's a pretty tough kid.
From a health standpoint, is what I'm saying. I mean, you had Lindsey with the whole visit to the hospital thing, so with the rhabdo.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I gotta ask you here about the any wideouts sticking out? I know we've talked we just talked to Wandale, and I know he's like half white out. But who else? Noah? I mean, did Noah, you've heard good things about him. Did you see some good things from him today?
Yeah, the first wideout grouping was the guys working with the first team offensive line and with Adrian when they first went on for 11-on-11 work was J.D. Spielman, expected, Konovai Noah, and Mike Williams. And okay. Mike Williams was my guy. I did my 10 intriguing Huskers list, however long ago that was. It feels like it was forever ago, but it was probably like a month or two ago. And Mike Williams was on that list. And it sort of seems like Mike has been a forgotten guy. The new guys have come in. You know, we talk about Darian Chase. We talk about Konovai Noah. We talk about Wando Robinson all the time. Some of the younger freshmen that have come in. It seems like Mike Williams is maybe a little bit forgotten. And today, at least for me, it was a nice reminder that, like, hey, this guy's a senior. Like, he has a sense of urgency. He knows the reasons that he wasn't playing a ton last year. The first question that he got asked this afternoon, he spoke to the media, and the first question he got asked was, you know, like, what are you working on? What are you hoping to accomplish this season? And he's like, I know who I am from a receiver standpoint. It's just about working on my blocking. So he's got this self-awareness to him. He's got this, I mean, he understands what's going to allow him to get on the field. And pound, I mean, we were told this when he got here. Pound for pound, he's one of the toughest guys on the team. So blocking shouldn't be an issue. It should be about just mentality. And so the wide receivers are doing a blocking drill, and I was kind of focused on guys like Cade Warner, guys like Mike Williams, and guys like Noah. And you know, Mike looks like he's a guy who could be that number two or that number three option at wide receiver. He was a guy that I kind of found myself watching a little bit. Him and Noah both.
Derek Peterson's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. His thoughts from what he saw at Husker practice today at Dr. PDHV on Twitter's where you follow him. I've got 2 minutes, and what are takeaways you have with Mills at running back?
Everybody really likes him. I just wrote, well, it was just the story that I have for this afternoon, was Dedrick Mills is the guy that everybody was talking about. Like Colin Miller said on Monday, somebody asked him, I think it was Christofferson asked him, like, who are some guys that are impressing you? And Colin Miller mentioned Dedrick Mills at running back. And he mentioned his pass pro and his ability as a receiver, which I thought was interesting because today, you know, I talked to Mike. I asked Mike Williams about Dedrick. I keep doing that. It's Dedrick.
Yeah, I do the same thing. It's okay. We'll just say Mills.
Mike Williams said he's tough, and if you're not paying attention, he will run you over. And then Ryan Held said he's a sweater, he's a hammer, where, you know, somebody asked him about the Divine Ozigbo comparison. He said it's a little loose, where Divine had some finesse. Dedrick Mills is one of the best downhill power running backs that Held said he's had with him in the last 4 years, which I thought was high praise. He seems like the kind of battering ram running back that would be a nice compliment to a guy like Ramir Johnson or a guy like Wandale Robinson, who spent a lot of time in the backfield today, maybe unexpectedly. But Dedrick looked impressive. Sounds impressive.
30 seconds. What are folks going to be able to read from you later tonight and into tomorrow? What are you working on?
Like I said, there's a Dedrick story going on the site. Might be on site now, and then tomorrow I'm writing about Luke McCaffrey, who I guess had a pretty phenomenal quarterback playbook test.
Yeah, that's what Super Mario said, man.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Super high praise from Super Mario about the quarterback test.
Yep. So I'll be writing about that.
I am fearful that I would... I don't test well anyway, shocker. But if it's a Mario test, man, just going to sneak out.
Yeah.
Derek, awesome report. Thank you for getting us caught up on the open practice portion this morning, and I look forward to chatting again soon, bud. Take care, and thanks for the time.
Sounds good, man. Get better with your back.
I'm good. I'm re-energized. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, less than an hour away. He just hung it up. Niles Paul, longtime Husker and NFLer, going to be with us. Brad Edwards, 25 minutes away, we say hi to Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. Shuey, you sweating out there? How's the weather?
It's nice. It's a little sweaty, but the sun's out, no clouds, no rain. Golfing weather.
It is golfing weather. Are you in a tank top? I mean, just kind of showing them guns off?
I don't know. That'd be an ugly little sight there.
As you slap me and say, no, I'm in a very proper collared shirt. And Shuey's kind enough to jump on with us on Wednesdays to talk a little golf, talk a little sports. And before we get any further and get back to some Nebraska football stuff, Shuey, I need the Divot Dogs update, brother. How are them Divot Dogs? As you had playoff time, you had the belt in the balance.
It is. So we got our last practice tomorrow, 10:30 to 1. Tomorrow is our last practice. And then Friday morning, 8:30, we tee it off. Final four, winner take all. Winner takes the belt. So it'll be exciting. It'll be really fun. I mean, I know the four teams that are in there are really good. All the kids are really solid, strong players. So it'll be a shootout.
Do you have to pep them up, or do you just kind of nod at them quietly?
We had practice last Thursday, and they were ready to go. We had practice Tuesday, and they needed a little pep up. They were a little out to lunch. So we'll see how tomorrow goes. They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Well, good luck and God bless with your Divot Dogs, my friend. Good for you that they're within reach of that belt. So Nebraska had practice today, and it was open, and it was padded. And you've got, you know, Coach Held and Coach Walters. The whole buzz has been about Wandale Robinson, deservedly so. He's super talented. He's come in and done some pretty impressive things. Shuey, you're a guy who looks at all aspects of football, and will stay on the offensive side. How good do you feel about the quarterback situation this year for Nebraska, beyond the obvious of number two?
Hey, it's fantastic. I mean, if you just look at what he did last year and how he performed last year, you would sure think that he's going to be better, you know, because typically as they do, like everybody, they get better as they get more experiences as the season goes along. And he was pretty spectacular last year, so I'm super excited about that position. I mean, he's incredibly talented, and he should be better. So it's like, wow, if you get better than what he was last year, you got something pretty special there.
You do, because of where he could maybe go, but you got Vedrill that is a backup option. You also have Little McCaffrey or Little Mac. I mean, he had the wow play of the day at practice, and you know, just from a durability standpoint, guys are going to get the hell beat out of him in the Big Ten. That said, Nebraska, when they had to go to a backup last year through no fault of the backup's own last year, I mean, Nebraska was a different team. You'll still be different no matter who's in for Adrian. But you got to feel a little bit better experience-wise and talent-wise, right? From a drop-off and a gap in drop-off?
No kidding. I mean, no question about that. And that's the key, because, I mean, it's too long of a season. It's too brutal of a league that you're playing in, and a brutal of a game that you're probably going to sustain some injuries. So it's like the guy that has to step up, and is there no drop-off or very little drop-off when that, you know, next guy up has to come up? I mean, that's what it looks like they're starting to get a lot more of, you know, at all positions, you know. And the quarterback, obviously, is his position, you know. It's hard to replace, you know, Adrian, but at the same time, you know, if you have somebody that's very efficient that can replace him, then you can still run what it is you like to run and be efficient at it. So, you know, hopefully he doesn't get hurt, but if he does, it sounds like there's some really quality backups in there so the drop-off doesn't become too severe.
What do you think Nebraska's defensive identity needs to be in 2019?
They got to get pressure on the quarterback, period. I mean, we haven't had a DN that sacked the quarterback in a long time.
His name was Randy Gregory.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I haven't seen that since Randy Gregory. And it's like they've got to find a way to get pressure on the quarterback. And hopefully it sounds like some guys have really made some gains in strength and speed and just different players and more players that are in there that are going to be able to do that. So hopefully, I mean, that's you got to get pressure on the quarterback. You can't let these quarterbacks have all the time in the world because I don't care how good your secondary is. They can't cover that long.
Shuey, let's head back to golf, and I always love going to the gridiron with you for a little bit. So now that the majors are done, and, man, it's felt like forever since we talked. I was in Colorado last week. The fellas had you on, and I appreciate you jumping on. Two guys I want to focus on here for the next couple of minutes, Tiger and Phil. You know, what as they wind down another season – Tiger, I know, is trying to slow it down and be smart because of his health. So, you know, what's reasonable for Tiger moving forward? And what's Phil's game plan? What could 2020 look like for Phil?
You know, Phil is all about it. How much does he really care?
Okay.
You know, obviously majors care a lot. He cares a lot about the majors. And some of it's just if he gets off to good starts in certain tournaments. I think if he's not playing really well, I mean, his care factor is not the greatest to go ahead and grind things out. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. So it's like, you know, so if he gets off to good starts and his care factor is really high, Phil has a chance to be competitive in any tournament. Tiger's all about his health. You know, it's just how healthy is he, how much was he able to prepare and practice. That's Tiger's biggest thing, in my opinion, is that because his health isn't the greatest, so that takes a toll on his ability to practice like he likes to practice. So if he goes out and tries to practice really hard like he likes to get ready for a tournament, he takes a chance of having it affect him by the time it's time to play the tournament. So he's got to adapt a little bit his schedule of what he likes to do to be at his top physical performance when it's actually time to play. And it's just harder for him to do that. I mean, he's a grinder. He likes to practice a lot. Well, his body doesn't let him do that. So can he prepare well enough to be ready to play a tournament physically and mentally? So his is all about his health. I mean, how healthy does he feel?
Shuey, Mike Schuartz with us, Wilderness Ridge Golf, Hail Varsity Radio. Shuey, as we wrap her up here, and thanks for making time again. Excited to come out and see you on Friday, August 23rd, a road show at Wilderness Ridge. Myself, Jay Moore, that's going to be big time. We'll be out on the patio and smiling. It's going to be a great road show. Excited to come see you and the fellas at Wilderness. You give our best to them, Divot Dogs, my friend. And tweet out a picture of that belt Friday around 5, all right?
That's right. I plan on it. So appreciate it, Smitty.
All right, bud. Be good. There he is, Mike Schuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. Shuey is the man for all things. We'll wind down hour one. And Brad Edwards, College Football Insider, ESPN College Game Day coming up. Niles Paul, next hour. Hail Varsity continues.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down this first hour, Brett Edwards coming up, Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt and Will Bauer. Reminder, something's got to stop that forward motion, and you know what? Seatbelts aren't enough. The airbags don't get it done all the time either, so seatbelts are what you want to do. They prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to your driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. A few more bits from Ryan Held and what Nebraska's been up to this camp, as it's already practice number 5. And, you know, we talk about expectations. We spent some time touching on identity, you know, for the Nebraska defense. Are they going to be great against the run? Are they going to get after the quarterback? Are they going to be opportunistic? That needs to be their identity, is that they're a defense that is great at taking the football away. All right. That's the hope. How close to that can they get as they work towards kickoff against South Alabama? But Coach Held touched on, you know, his running back room and the understanding they have of what's out there for Nebraska.
I mean, it's endless what we can do, you know. I mean, I know we're picked this and picked that. Like Coach said, we got to go earn it. We haven't earned anything yet other than the fact we finished strong. So what we have to do is pick up where we left off. We can't go back to the first part of the year, penalties, turnovers, all that kind of stuff. You know, we got to come out and pick up where we left off and make huge gains on that when South Alabama comes in here at 11 o'clock. We got to be ready to go. It'll be hot. It'll be, you know, sold-out crowd, ready to rock and roll. We got to go out there and be ready to play fast and do what we do.
More from Coach Held here as we wind it down. And the question was asked to Held, do you rest easy knowing how much talent you have in that running back room? Or are you on edge? Because, look, man, the running back room is a question mark, one of several for this offense.
Well, I'm never going to sleep easy till we get that championship. And even when we get the championship, I'm not even going to sleep easy because I'm going to be hungry and I want more. So what I do is I go to bed after I tuck Jacob to bed and read him a book and do all that is I'm ready to rock and roll, go to bed, hang with my wife, and then wake up. And I'm determined to what can I do to hold my part of this thing is try to get turned around and get the running backs right to where we can be a strength on the field. There's a lot of questions out there. You know, we lost a lot of guys. We got a lot of new guys. So that's motivation for us, all right? The people out there, well, you're not going to be very good at running back, or we don't know. Okay, great. Now we got to go out and prove it, all right? We can talk about it all day. We got to go out and earn it. We got to earn it on the practice field. We got to earn it in the meeting room, taking care of our bodies. And then when we get our chance, it's time to rock and roll.
You know, Held's pretty good at motivating, and he's a guy that is on his backs. He's one of the top recruiters. You saw footage of him in Last Chance U. And he was asked a little bit about that. More on a couple of those backs, specifically Tompkins and Ramir Johnson, we'll get to next hour. A guy that was a high-profile recruit that did well at Nebraska and 8 years in the NFL, retiring yesterday, Niles Paul, going to join us at 5:25. Excited to talk college football, Bama, Clemson. What's going to happen with Oklahoma? Where is Nebraska? What's their rep going into 2019? Brad Edwards next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. We say hi to Brad Edwards, ESPN insider, college football analyst, part of College Game Day, at JBradEdwards on Twitter. Brad, we are inching closer to that first weekend, the last weekend in August. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I mean, for me, I know for most fans it is the last weekend in August, but for some of us, it's the second to last because you got that Florida-Miami game on the 24th, and that's kind of what I'm building toward. Not only the game that day, but that is our College Game Day on Radio season preview show, which will be a full 6 hours before we even get to the game. So, yeah, we're like, I don't know, 2.5 weeks till kickoff on our end.
That is so good, and we've talked a lot about Nebraska, and I want to kind of go there to start, and we'll zoom out on some teams and some trends. But with Nebraska, what is the Nebraska reputation, Brad, right now as we head into 2019? Nebraska football is what? What's the narrative? What's the thought as we get ready to kick off?
Yeah, I think if I were to have a one-word answer to that, it would be hopeful. But if you want to get a little bit more in-depth, I see Nebraska similar to the way I see the two teams that we'll have in the season opener, you know, Florida and Miami, which these are all programs that not all that long ago were the elite of college football, and they've recently fallen on hard times. Now, not hard times in the way that some programs would define hard times, but from their perspective, you know, really difficult times, and where they've basically just become an afterthought nationally in a lot of seasons, and they're trying to get back to where they're, you know, kind of in the forefront nationally again. And so it's a long road back, and sometimes it's just kind of a fine line. And so Florida and Miami are, you know, hoping that new coaches will get them there, and Nebraska's in that same boat. You know, I think with both Dan Mullen at Florida and Scott Frost at Nebraska, guys in year two, and Manny Diaz at Miami in year one. And so I see those teams on very similar trajectories, and that's, you know, you and I talked about this last year with year one under Frost, is for all the excitement with the new coach, and of course you're getting an extra amount of attention, not only because of who he was as a player, but also because of what he had done at UCF, and all that's great, but nationally people aren't really going to care about Nebraska again. We said this last summer, and I'll say it again now because it still hasn't happened. Until you beat one of the big boys in a game that nobody is expecting you to win, people aren't going to care. And so I think that's kind of where Nebraska is. It's kind of teetering on the edge of being relevant again. And if they can beat Ohio State, you know, in week four or whatever that is, week five, that's the game that would put Nebraska, at least for a moment, back on the map, and it'd be up to them what they do with it from that point.
Brett Edwards with us, Hail Varsity Radio, and you're right. I mean, Nebraska needs to get a big win against a big-time opponent and then follow it up, right? We can go back a few years, and Nebraska took down a college football playoff team on a night game in November against Michigan State. Well, yep. Nebraska was still a 6-7 football team that year. You know, do it more often, do it and stack it consistently. And that's what Nebraska, with their practice today, is their fifth practice was open for the first 40 minutes or so. The thing that's noticeable, Brad, is Nebraska's athletes, their speed, and just the size. I mean, it's better than it's been in a while, which is encouraging. You've got a great quarterback in Adrian, with the hope for Nebraska fans that jump from year one to year two is Milton-like. I mean, and what's your response if I told you that, you know, Nebraska is not shying away from expectations? They're not cocky, but specifically with Adrian Martinez, I mean, Coach Frost isn't shielding Adrian from the expectations in that spotlight.
Yeah, I think that's good, because if I, you know, part of it is feeling like you belong there. You know, I think that's a big step of being able to play at that level, is believing that is where you're supposed to be. You know, you don't want to get there. Let's say you pull an upset of Ohio State, and then you still got a lot of the season left in front of you. You want to feel like you're good enough that shouldn't be a surprise to people. That they're only surprised because they don't know how good you are. If you kind of have this mindset that, okay, we really overachieved in that one, then it's probably more likely you're going to come back to earth, you know, when you get into the back half of the schedule. So, yeah, I think, you know, expectations are a good thing. Allow the players to maybe even allow them to believe they're better than they really are. I think that is probably more valuable than the other way, trying to temper expectations, make them think that, you know, that no one's expecting much, so therefore there's no pressure. I'd rather aim higher and risk falling short.
Brett Edwards with us, Hail Varsity Radio, getting ready for College Game Day and their college football preview on ESPN Radio, Miami and Florida. You know, there's kind of a common theme. You look at Nebraska, you look at Miami, you look at the University of Florida, even you look at Alabama and Tennessee. I've just grouped in a whole bunch of national championship teams, and it came to coaching changes, and not just one, but repeated coaching changes. I want to get into Saban and Bama, and you know the program very well, Brad. Saban got an amazing talent and continued to build on it. Julio Jones was kind of that first marquee number one player out of high school, number one player in recruiting. You know what he did. You know what he's still doing in the league. But how do you think Saban was able to get that talent? Why was he so good at recruiting and building? Because, I mean, Saban had won at LSU, but he hadn't been in college very long before he went to the NFL.
Yeah, I think there's probably a combination of factors. I mean, first of all, he was a really good recruiter at LSU. And I remember when they made that hire, took him away from Michigan State, I thought this is a mistake. Like, you don't take a guy who has no background in the South and bring him into the SEC and expect him to recruit well. Well, it's not exactly the way it works. If you can recruit, you can recruit. You know, the old selling ice to the Eskimos thing. I mean, some people just know how to sell. And Saban is one of those guys. I mean, we've seen it with, you know, other places. Les Miles was a great recruiter at LSU also. And he didn't have any real background in the South, except for if you consider Oklahoma State South, but that's not the area that he grew up in. Number of others, Urban Meyer, you know, would be another one who didn't have a background in that part of the country, and he recruited great in the SEC. So that certainly is part of it, is that he was and still is, naturally a great recruiter. And then, of course, players want to see results. And that's not just on the field. And then, as you mentioned, he had won a national championship at LSU. So players knew that he could win. But the other part is, can you get me to the NFL? And, you know, it wasn't just that he had put a lot of guys in the NFL from both Michigan State and LSU. But he had also coached in the NFL. I mean, a defensive coordinator with the Browns before he went to Michigan State. Obviously was head coach of the Dolphins for a couple of years before he came to Alabama. And I think all that stuff, if you know how to play it the right way, roots, all that stuff just kind of builds together into a nice package and makes you really attractive. And sometimes it just takes one class, and it could be one player, you know, that is the guy that you want to build around. And other guys in that class, because they want to play with that guy, they start falling in line. And then you have, you know, a second class. It's like, you know, they're doing something special. I want to be a part of it. And so I think that's a big element of this rebuilding, is getting that, you know, that first kind of transcendent player or that first really strong recruiting class to give everyone else a reason to believe that you can get this program back to where it was.
Brad, is there anybody out there like Saban, personality-wise, that you've been around in college football?
You know, we talk so much about Saban's former assistants, because he's undefeated against them, and so many of them have been hired by other schools who want to just try to, like, I don't know if they think that there's something that's in a bottle that they can buy, but obviously if there was something like that, his former assistants would be the ones who would have it. It's interesting. I think the one that is most like Saban to me, personality wise, is D'Antonio. I don't think it's a perfect match, but I think D'Antonio is certainly more similar to Saban in personality than Muschamp, Jimbo, some of the guys that, you know, kind of get more attention or are more associated with him. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's another guy that I would look out there though and say this guy's a Saban Jr. And Kirby Smart obviously spent a lot of time with Saban. But if you watch Kirby Smart and you spend any time around him, the difference.
Aye. Brad, do we still have you, partner? We got you. You cut out, bud. We went through a rough patch. You were touching on Kirby Smart.
Yeah, you got me again?
I got you now. Yep.
Okay, yeah, so sorry about that. Yeah, we've got some bad weather here, so that might have contributed to it. I just think with Kirby, like, you notice the differences between him and Saban just as much as you notice the similarities. And so I think that's a big part of this. But you know something else, though, Chris, that we've seen in the last, especially last 4 years in college football, is that Saban's way isn't the only way to be elite. You know, because Dabo at Clemson has a very different way of doing things, and in that four-year span, he has been equal to Saban and equal to Alabama. And so it shows you that as great as Saban is and as much success as he's had doing it his way, you can do it other ways and still get the job done. And so maybe Dabo's assistants will start getting hired by everyone pretty soon.
Well, but Dabo's assistants, I mean, and that's what's pretty unique. I look at Urban Meyer and everyone raids his assistants. That's been his downfall, right? I mean, that's why he's left programs. I know he's had health issues, but, you know, Herman's gone, or name somebody at Florida, both his offensive and defensive coordinator, much, you know, Mullen specifically, got plucked away. Saban has turnover all the time with his assistants. Scott Frost brought everybody with him. It won't be that long till folks look at his people if Nebraska gets back up to speed. Dabo and Clemson pay exceptionally well. Is he just that great to work for on top of the salary? Because they have not had a lot of turnover.
Yeah, I think he's built something really special there that I know people use the term all the time and it kind of gets overused, but family, a family atmosphere. And I think that there really is something to that at Clemson, and these assistant coaches have found a place where they're really happy. It's a small town, you know, that it's a good place to raise a family, and they all like it there. And I think because of it, look, they're all getting paid pretty well, too, let's be honest. And so I think for a lot of these assistant coaches, it's going to take a really good offer. Not just any head coaching offer, but a really good one to be able to get them away. And I think that's the reason that he's been able to hold on to them. But, you know, for people who like to look at Dabo and say, oh, you know, the only reason he's had success is because he hasn't had to replace his coordinators. Well, go back about 5 years, I think it was, five or six, when he had an offensive coordinator named Chad Morris.
Right, yep.
Who is
yep.
now the head coach at Arkansas. Yeah, and Chad Morris, everyone looked at this guy as an offensive guru, man. This guy just has it figured out. And when he left and took the SMU job, a lot of people said, oh, Clemson's offense is not going to be the same. Clemson's offense hasn't missed a beat. And that doesn't mean that Chad Morris isn't a good coach. But Dabo knows what he's doing. And even though he hasn't had to replace coordinators nearly as often as some other guys have, he had one major test in that category, and he passed it with an A.
I'd say so. And it's worked out well, and he's had incredible quarterbacks on top of the edge on the lines of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively. Clemson's got it rolling. Brad, we'll let you be. We'll get caught up soon again and get geared up, man. Can't wait for college football to get here. Thanks for your time today, as always, man.
You got it. Thanks, Chris. Take care.
You too. Brad Edwards with us, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. Some good thoughts there on Frost, and I'm glad he got into Saban a little bit with, you know, the rebuilding. And, you know, I don't know about you, but my ears perked up when he's talking about that one kind of game changer you get in a recruiting class as a player. And immediately I thought to that cornerstone when Nebraska went and got Adrian Martinez. A lot of work to do, a lot of games to be played, but if you get that program-changing type ball player, good things can happen. And as a Nebraska fan and that program down there on 10th and Vine, they want to be doing what Alabama and Clemson are doing. That's what you miss as a Nebraska fan. And it takes a transcendent baller to do it, and you feel pretty good about what you got in number two at the quarterback spot. Well, he was Nebraska's first Army All-American. Niles Paul joins us to talk retirement next on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back in, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Standout Husker and 8-year NFL vet deciding to hang it up. We say hi to Niles Paul once again. Niles, how's that retired life, man? How you doing?
I'm down here in Florida enjoying, I guess, being retired. I was in training camp with the 49ers for a week. They let me go. I just made a decision that I think was best for me and my body as far as having to step away from the game just because I think, you know, certain injuries are starting to catch up to me and take a toll on me. It's just getting harder and harder.
So has it sunk in? I mean, you've been a high-level athlete for a long time, and you love competing. Was it a difficult decision?
It was extremely difficult. It was something I was, kind of going back and forth with after last year with the Jaguars and how that turned out and me end up getting hurt again. Luckily, it was anything too serious, just the MCL sprain, but it put me down for the rest of the year. Now, I went back and forth with it over the offseason, met a couple teams, got signed with the 49ers before camp, and I just, took that being out there and experiencing that week of training camp, and man, it felt longer, and I took all that into consideration. Even with opportunities that was presented with me after I was released, and just kind of made my decision that this was it for me, man. Like I didn't have it in me anymore. I guess
Niles,
it felt like an appropriate time to step away.
I hear you. Niles Paul's with us, and can you put into words the wear and tear? A lot of us enjoy watching, but we cannot even come close to doing. You've done it at the highest level for 8 years, man. What's it been like on your body?
Oh man, I've had concussions. I've had shoulder surgery. I've had sprains, torn ligaments, broken ankles, and it's just a lot of wear and tear on your body, and you just realize that you're not. I mean, obviously you get older, but some mornings when you wake up and your body aching, and it's just like, dang, I really just. You start to question yourself, and that's the last thing I want to do is question myself and my abilities when I'm out there on that field, because that is how you get hurt, especially playing at such a high level. I just feel like, being the type of player I am as far as a real aggressive, I'm my teammates, my coaches always knew I'd run through a brick wall for them, and I never wanted to change my style of play. So I knew I wasn't going to do to change that, and I knew what I was going to continue to put my body through, and I just felt like, this is, at some point I'm going to start thinking about myself.
Niles Paul.
In my future.
Niles Paul, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Niles, you got a birthday coming up, the big 3-0. How old do you feel?
Oh man, my siblings are laughing at me because they want to know what I'm doing, or like, what I'm celebrating, and I really just kind of want to just sit at home and sit on my couch and watch movies, man. And that's just how I am at this point in my body. I feel like an old man sometimes trying to move around, but it's all in all, it's a great feeling a great weight lifted off my shoulders. It's kind of like, okay, now I know I can focus on, everything else I wanted to pursue outside of football.
Let's go there. What is next for Niles Paul outside of football? You've been phenomenal in the community, and you've done that in Omaha. You've done that with Steve Warren and the Dream Foundation. You're one of the guys that Steve has always reached out to, and you're one of the guys that's always stepped up. What do you plan on doing next?
I plan to continue to do what I do in the community as far as, outreach and just motivating kids and helping them understand what it takes to, to be a high level athlete or to play at a high level. And I have my hands in a couple of different business ventures right now, which all things that have me, kind of have caught my attention over the years. And one of them being me and a couple of my boys started a nice little entertainment company in which we're just trying to do little little concerts for the city and stuff like that. But that's just something I do as far as fun, not really looking for it to be like the biggest thing as far as a profit. But I have my, you know, I'm involved in real estate and some other things. So it's just all figuring out what I'm passionate about again, and what fuels me as far as what my heart wants to do.
Niles, you get drafted in the fifth round. You leave Nebraska as a draft pick, and you're a special teams guy, a kickoff return guy, and then in your career, man, it was remarkable to see you kind of change your roles. You'd been and you're still a fast dude, but you make the switch and shift and keep your speed and agility, but you put weight on to do that tight end fullback thing. What was that conversation like to you in Washington when they said, hey, we think you can do this and do this well for us?
Oh, man, really. I mean, honestly, it was just to keep a job. I got a phone call in the offseason. We had picked up a couple high-profile wide receivers. The year before, I had a pretty good rookie year at receiver. I started a couple games. And Coach Shanahan just gave me a call and asked me, hey, you know what I'm saying, I want you on this team. And, you know, at this point, when it comes down to the numbers, the only way you're really going to make this team is if you find you a place at tight end or safety. And I told him, I'm not a safety coach. I ain't played safety since high school, so I'd rather play tight end. Plus, they know I'm physical enough to play tight end. And it all just kind of worked out from there. I went in there with a mindset to do anything I needed to do to make this team. I had great mentors like Fred Davis, Chris Cooley, and Logan Paulson just kind of teaching me along the way. And Sean McVay was the tight ends coach, which was even greater because now, you know, he's with Los Angeles. He's the head coach of Los Angeles Rams, and Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. So I had all these great offensive minds around me looking back on it. So it's just always an easy transition. They made it an easy transition for me. All I had to do was put in the work.
And that's never been a problem with you. Niles Paul with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What was a young McVay like as a tight ends coach? How did he connect with you?
I mean, you could always tell as a tight ends coach that he was meant to do so much more, just because we sit there and we'll be focusing on, you know, what our routes are, what our blocking scheme is, and he'll know the whole thing. He'll explain the whole offense to us, or the whole play to us, and they're the defense to us in one setting. And we'd be like, yo, coach, like, damn, coach, like, let us know. Like, we just want to know our part. You know? But he made sure that we had the whole understanding. And you could always tell that he was always meant to be a head coach.
Did you have fun? Did you have fun in the NFL? Because it goes from a game to, yes, it's still a game, but it's business, man. It's numbers.
Yeah, once you understand that it's a business and it's about numbers, I think it makes it easier pill to swallow. I had fun with my teammates in just the locker room. I think that's what I'm going to miss most is being out there on that field, competing with my teammates. You know, y'all the best athletes as far as football in the world on this field, like, and you guys have to go out there and compete with each other. I think that was always an honor and a privilege from practice to the games to me. Like, I always have fun. I always have fun competing against the next man. I always have fun with my teammates. It was always a good time.
Got to ask you about your time at Nebraska. Remember a dark, stormy night in Columbia, Missouri. It's a Thursday night. And it's not looking good. Nebraska had a tough time with Missouri. And Nebraska rallies a lot of points in the fourth quarter. Sue tries to kill the other team's offense, and he succeeded in that. You come up with a couple of touchdowns, big-time kind of jump ball catches. Did you ever have a doubt in that Missouri game, that rainy night in Columbia back in 2009?
Oh man, did I have a doubt? It was the worst weather conditions ever, and I remember just being cold, not being able to wear gloves, and we just didn't quit. Like, it was a situation where you know, we felt like our backs was against the wall, and we just didn't quit because we knew what we had on defense and what, and that we were the, like, it was our shortcomings on offense that was kind of affecting the team. And, you know, Zach gave me some opportunities, and we made plays, and that was a special moment for me. I know it was a special moment for him. It's one of my favorite moments in my career that I remember.
Let's go to Oklahoma State in 2010. Guys are coming off a tough one against Texas, and just a phenomenal Oklahoma State team. You guys win in the shootout down there. Your kickoff return kind of flips the momentum. I mean, do you remember that moment?
Yeah, absolutely. That was definitely another highlight of my career, because not only did we come off a loss, but we come off a loss where I made a few bonehead mistakes, and it was like a lot of, I remember that because as a young kid, it really bothered me, and I was going through it a little bit. I was reading into what everybody was saying about me, and I just remember before the game, talking to Coach Gilmore and Coach Pelini and everything, and they kind of put everything in perspective for me, and I just locked in, and I had one of the best games of my career.
What'd they say to you that put you at ease?
I mean, just they was, as far as Coach Gilmore, you know, he kept the game in perspective outside of ball for me, and, mm-hmm. and made sure I understood that it was bigger than that. And Coach Pelini always reminded me of the type of player and the caliber of player I was when I'm on that field and I'm focused.
Niles Paul's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Niles, congrats on 8 years in the NFL and your career at Nebraska. Enjoy that birthday real quick. What movie are you going to throw in on your birthday night?
Man, I might have to throw on The Matrix and watch the trilogy, man.
That's good, man. That's good. Niles, we'll catch up down the road. Best to you. Thanks for the time today.
All right. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, great to get caught up with Dr. Doug Davis, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. Dr. Doug, I'm back from Colorado. I've missed you guys. How you doing?
Doing good. Just getting kind of wound up and looking forward to another football year.
I am looking toward football as well. Fantasy football's around the corner. A guy that's usually protected in our league and drafted high in many others is A.J. Green, and everyone's got their eyes around here on old Zach Taylor, one of our favorites, and he's a head coach for Cincy, and tough news for him year one when you get a guy like A.J. Green that is injured. Dr. Doug, kind of take us through what you interpret here with A.J. Green and his situation.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, he's got some torn ligaments now in his ankle, and just reading through some of the reports of things, you know, not entirely sure, you know, what the cause is. Maybe he was on a little bit of a uneven surface out there on the practice field. But in any case, it sounds like he's got some damage around the ligaments to the ankle, and like most soft tissue things, he's probably going to be sitting out of the first several games here. 6 to 8 weeks is kind of what we're hearing, and that would seem pretty logical for a ligament injury like this.
So you have 6 to 8 weeks of recovery with this surgery set up, and kind of take me through, Dr. Doug, the clean out and the landscape, so to speak, with an ankle injury and ankle ligaments.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways these kind of go. You know, most ankle injuries we will treat non-operatively, allow the ligaments around the ankle to just heal up, kind of stiffen up, if you will, and then put people back through physical therapy as a way of trying to regain their ability to kind of sense where their foot is in space. So, you know, when you're running a route like AJ Green, you got to be able to plant that foot, know, you know, what that sense of positioning is so that you can make your moves that you need to make. And so we call that proprioceptive retraining. Well, with surgery, in a situation like this, they probably did that as a result of some cartilage damage within the joint, or maybe even some small chips of bone off the edges of the ligament attachment point. And those kinds of changes are also pretty common with an ankle injury. Sometimes we see that, you know, after multiple ankle injuries, we'll see these little chips in there and need to go in and clean them out. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do a reconstruction of the ligaments around the ankle.
Dr. Doug Tavis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. Talking A.J. Green, the Bengal wideout, and what needs to happen with him, some of the issues he's going through. So that's good that you don't have to do a reconstruction, but from a healing standpoint and just the recovery timeline, you've kind of laid out the weeks. But with the position we're talking about, wide receiver, what's pretty common, Dr. Doug? You've seen guys get back to their normal form. What do you think is reality?
Well, I think that with his situation where they didn't do a ligament reconstruction, they're pretty confident that he's going to be able to get back to full form with this. A lot of guys don't like to wear braces on their ankles when they're playing in a position like Green plays, because it encumbers them just a little bit on their cuts and the way that they're making their routes. Now, you know, Green's probably their best player on that team, and you know, he's as you said, a pretty special player. So even with a brace on, he might, you know, make other guys look silly. But that would be kind of the ultimate, or the question coming up is he going to end up wearing a brace? Is he going to be a little bit slower as a result of that? Or is he going to be able to come back out and really make the moves that he's used to making? It's a little bit difficult to tell, you know, based on what we know so far.
Well, the thing that's on his mind before the injury's been, you know, that contract negotiation, and Green's been in the league for quite a while. He's put up incredible numbers, and he's put up great numbers as the guy to stop on the team, right? I mean, he's Cincinnati's not had a lot to cheer for a long time. And
yeah, he would be the standout.
He is, and he's supposed to make $12 million this year, missed 7 games last year with a toe injury. Is he missing 4 games this year? Don't know. Is he missing 6? Time will tell, but negotiations have stalled that way, and Cincinnati's reputation when it comes to negotiating, they win, to put it nicely. They don't hand out cash real often, and that's got to be tough if you're a first-year head coach, and it's got to be tough on Zach Taylor with this injury for A.J. Green. When it comes to re-injury with something like this, can you pop something again? Can it happen even though you've taken the time and done the work to get healthy? How susceptible to re-injuring this part of your body are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of mentioned, you know, that he was out last year with the toe injury, is out the year before that with the hamstring injury. You know, as he's kind of coming through this thing, I think there is some concern about, okay, is he, you know, at age 31 getting to the point where, you know, they may not want to negotiate too terribly much with him. This season, they're going to have to be careful with him, because there's no question that he's going to have a higher likelihood of a re-injury to this ankle than he would if he was, you know, dealing with just that opposite ankle. You know, is that one going to go? Is it going to be a situation where I'm going to re-injure this when I got to plant hard off of either one of them? Either way, he could end up having a re-injury with this thing because he's a little bit cautious with it. So they're going to have to be careful with him. They may not put him into, you know, some of the same situations they otherwise would put him in, but they do have a real question out there about, you know, the whole issue of renegotiating with him.
Dr. Doug Davis with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jonk Donk Wednesday. We're talking A.J. Green. Last thought, are there any exercises or training regimens you can do to strengthen your ankles, Dr. Doug?
Yeah, well, that's that whole thought process that we started out with, the idea of proprioceptive retraining, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to make your body get the feedback that allows you to understand where your foot and ankle are in space. Think of it this way, Chris. If you're standing up on a chair and you jumped off the chair with your eyes closed and landed just on that leg, you've got to be able to feel your way down and feel that impact of the floor and be able to respond to that with your muscles around it. That's when you're really all the way back, you know, is when you can do that kind of a thing. Well, therapists are very good at putting athletes into positions that gradually bring them along to be able to get to that point where they have that confidence and that feeling that their muscles, along with the healed ligaments, are going to support them. And hopefully, again, with a guy like this, it'd be really nice if you could get him out there without a brace on. But initially, you know, I'm guessing he'll be out there with a brace just to give that extra support, because they are going to have to be careful with him if they're going to get him through the season.
Dr. Doug, thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet. Take care, Chris.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
All right, big thanks. Good shows today with Niles Paul, Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, and Brad Edwards. We are loaded tomorrow. I'm going to say we'll have Brandon Vogel. I hope we have Brandon Vogel. It's going to be a Marty party. Marty Smith of ESPN will join us. And then how about longtime Nebraska assistant, director of player personnel, Ron Brown, going to be with us. So we're loaded up as we get you ready for Nebraska football. Great practice updates and thoughts on HaleVarsity.com. Are you moving? Are you thinking about moving? How about you find your way to your friends at West Blue Realty? And Tom Luby, Kelly Hoffschneider, they are pros. They are awesome. They're going to make that that move in 2019 painless. Give Tom Luby a call today at 402-540-3768 or Kelly Hoffschneider. Call Kelly at 402-202-2312. And West Blue Realty specializes in residential homes for sale in Lincoln and surrounding communities. And when you mention Hail Varsity, you can West Blue Realty can provide you up to $1,000 upon the closing of your next home purchase. Listen, interest rates are going to be nuts, right? They are there for the taking. West Blue Realty can make that move happen and painless and work with you on it. WestBlueRealty.com, 233 South 13th, the 11th floor. What can West Blue Realty do for you? Find out. Go see Kelly and, of course, go see Tom. Okay, so we're loaded up tomorrow. Good stuff today. Can log on ESPNLincoln.com. Get the on-demand. Hear Brad Edwards talk about that game-changer player a coach gets that all other recruits want to come play with. Does it sound familiar? hear Brad Edwards and his thoughts on Nebraska's rep. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, was fantastic. His takeaways from practice, what he got to see today. And then Niles Paul, man, just very real. When I called Nile, he picked up. He'd been napping. And he's like, man, that retirement life. And good on Niles for a strong career with Washington and Jacksonville, and still wanted to go at it with San Fran, and decided it was time to say goodbye. So check us out. You can log on hailvarsity.com for the podcast. Get to iTunes and download that for the podcast. And find us on Twitter. Give us a follow. Chris Schmidt, Schmidt underscore radio. Will Bauer at Willie underscore Bauer. As always, at Hail Varsity and at ESPN Lincoln. Follow ESPN Lincoln. Great stuff from Greger Than Hooks, my show. And obviously, the SoundCloud postings will be very good. Some good stuff from Brad Edwards, some great stuff from Niles Paul and Dr. Petey. So we're locked in. Have an amazing midweek. Get through this thing. More pills to pop for me and the old... I'm getting old and heavy. So, yes, I will fight through the pinched nerve issues. Really, I mean, I kind of feel it sometimes. You had Will Bauer throwing darts at my right arm all day. I felt nothing. Talk to you tomorrow at 4. Marty Smith, Ron Brown tomorrow. Thanks.